News Talk Breakfast.
In association with Air. Keeping Ireland connected with no limits data on Air Mobile.
Paddy Mallon, who's an infectious disease physician at St. Vincent's Hospital and a professor of microbial diseases at UCD's School of Medicine, joins me now on the line. Paddy, we spoke to Dr. Liam Glynn. He's a GP in Clare. He's working in UL as well in the Graduate Medical School programme. Earlier in the show, he said, look, it'll be this day next week at the earliest before we can say clearly what shape this famous curve is taking in Ireland. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do think it's too early to say for certain what effect the measures that we put in place have had. I've no doubt, just based on the messaging coming out of the Department of Health, that there are some early signs at the community level that are encouraging. Whether they're enough to actually enable the hospitals to cope with the surge in cases is just too early to say. We're seeing a steady stream of people coming into hospital very sick with COVID-19 and a steady stream going to ICU. So I'd say over the next week we'll get an idea as to whether or not we actually have the capacity to deal with this.
Yeah, look, I suppose there are, as you said, encouraging signs out there. There are discouraging signs as well, those clusters in nursing homes and the delays and the backlog in testing. How acute a problem is that?
So I guess they're two very different issues. The first issue around the testing, the focus for the near future really needs to be on ensuring that we've enough tests at the hospital level to enable the hospitals to function and cope with people presenting here sick. So that needs to be the first priority. After that, we do need to be able to test staff quickly to enable those staff that may have been exposed to COVID-19, if they are negative, to be able to return to work, and also to be able to pick up staff who may be infected so that we can avoid those infections being transmitted. Beyond that, when you look at the community testing piece, unfortunately, we just don't have the capacity from a lab perspective at the minute to do that effectively. And I think we just need to recognize that and move on. The Department of Health have given some very sound advice to the community, which is if you have symptoms, stay at home. And if someone in your family has symptoms, you should stay at home as well. And really, that is much more important than at the minute than waiting for a test to confirm whether or not the symptoms are actually COVID-19. It's really critical that people who have symptoms of any sort, that they and their families self-isolate.
Given that we don't have the capacity to test everyone who needs testing in the community, and as you said, look, we need to accept that, recognise that and move on, is there an argument that we divert those testing resources to hospitals and to nursing homes and to frontline workers so that at least that's done efficiently?
I think so. I mean, the priority needs to be hospitals, number one. And I would say a mix between the nursing home testing and staff testing is as second priorities. Particularly the nursing home testing, if we can identify outbreaks in nursing homes quickly and really ramp up the public health response to that in collaboration with our hospital outreach teams and our GPs, I think we'd hopefully be able to manage those very effectively. And personally, I think that that's a much greater focus in terms of more bang for your buck for testing than a sort of suboptimal community testing, which is all that we can offer to the community at the minute.
Okay, so just to get this clear, this obviously wouldn't be the ideal scenario, but slow down the rate at which we're testing the community and ramp up the rate at which we're testing medical workers. That would be your advice?
I think so. You know, focus your testing where you're going to get the most benefit from it, and the most benefit we're going to get is by maintaining as many people in the healthcare service at work as we can, and also ensuring that our nursing homes are kept safe and we can protect our elderly so that they don't get sick and end up in hospital. I think the testing piece for the community, it's not that we forget about it. I think that there's a huge amount of work going on within the HSE and within the world in general looking for additional options or alternative options for testing. And I think it's going to be really important in the weeks ahead when those additional options come online. But for the moment, I think we need to just accept the fact that we're not going to be able to do it right for the next week or two and focus our efforts where they're needed most, which is in the hospitals and the nursing homes at the minute.
You talked as well about the pressures on ICUs and the numbers of people coming into hospital very sick. When you look at those figures, beyond, I suppose, the headline figures we get every day of the number of new cases and, of course, the number of people who've passed away and all those human tragedies that lie behind it, how concerned are you at the rate of increase in ICU admissions?
So the rate of increase is steady. If you look at what's happened in other countries, for example, if you look at what's happening in London at the moment and New York at the moment, what you see there are nearly like a tidal wave of cases coming in and really nearly overwhelming very well-developed health systems. I think that so far we've managed to avoid that. And if we do avoid that, it'll be solely down to the measures that everyone in the country is taking to try and slow down the spread of the infection. And I think everyone needs to stick with that plan, because so far it's working. So if we avoid that tidal wave, what we have is this sort of slow creep of new infections coming in every day, a proportion of which will end up in ICU. And at the minute, I think that the rate that they're happening is putting stress on the ICUs, but I think that we're able to cope. But we just won't know if that rate will continue as it is at the minute, or if it's going to continue to increase. And if it continues to increase, for example, if today we have, say, two people going to the ICU, but by Saturday it's four people or five people per day going to the ICU, that's not a sustainable pattern. So it really is on a knife edge, and it's really critical that everyone continues doing what they're doing, because it's really the only thing that's going to protect the health system at the moment.
I know lots of people sitting at home listening to this, Paddy, are asking themselves, because this is what we do in our house, how long will all of this last for? And you were writing earlier in the week, and speaking on News Talk as well, about the borders, once you start to unwind some of these measures. How concerned are you about how all that will be handled, you know, lifting some of the restrictions and the implications of that?
Well, I think that if we are sitting here this time next week and things are the same as they are at the moment, then I think we need to be looking ahead in terms of how we're going to actually push back on this infection. And if you're going to really aggressively push back on this infection, we need to ramp up community testing. We need an aggressive public health approach. There already is an aggressive public health approach. We need to continue with that. And then we need to avoid new infections coming into the country. And at the moment, I guess the point that I've been making this week is that at the moment there's really nothing very visible at the point of entry to the country through the airports, for example, that would suggest to people traveling into the country that we are in that space of trying to protect our borders. And I think there's very few countries around the world that aren't taking measures at the point of entry into the country to try and identify people and protect the country from new infections being imported. So it's a discussion we need to have. And I think the longer we do nothing about it, the more concerned I would be.
All right, Paddy Mallon, infectious disease physician at St. Vincent's Hospital and professor of microbial diseases at UCD School of Medicine. Let's stick with that issue that Paddy brought up about the rate at which and the speed at which we're testing health workers. Ilona Duffy is a medical director of the North East Dock on Call. She's a GP in Monaghan, regular contributor to our show and others. Ilona, how is that manifesting itself amongst you and your colleagues, the lack of testing of healthcare staff, or the speed at which it's happening?
Well, as Paddy said, it is a problem, and it's especially a problem with trying to maintain our doctors, our nurses and others who work in our hospitals and community looking after patients, trying to maintain them at work. We are aware in the UK that 25% of all of the doctors are out on COVID-related sick leave at the moment, and I'm aware that in some hospitals in Dublin the figures are equally as stark as that. We know that in general practice there are many GPs who are at home who aren't able to come in and work on their surgeries. For those who feel reasonably up to it, they're continuing to work by providing telephone and video consultations from their home. But obviously that's not possible in the hospital situation. Doctors and nurses can't work by remote medicine. So it is a real problem. We are finding that GPs are waiting anything up to 10, 11 days to get a result. I know of another frontline healthcare worker in the hospital setting who had her test on last Monday, so Monday of last week, and still has no result and can't go back to work. Obviously, she'll go back now once her 14 days of quarantine after the beginning of her symptoms. But she has been a loss from the system, especially if it turned out that her test was negative and that she could have returned.
are doctors who are in isolation still working to a degree? I don't doing pre-prescriptions from home? Are they doing video consults, even though they are meant to be in isolation? I suppose needs must to a degree.
Yeah, I think GPs are really trying to keep things going because, and I think that's one of the reasons that we're not seeing the surge in the hospital presentations yet, because general practice here, people know their GP, they have a link with their practice, and we've really got that word out there that practices are still open to taking telephone consultations, and where necessary, we are still seeing patients, but it's a very planned approach, and we have to make sure that we're safe and the patient is safe coming into us. So the majority of the work we're doing is over the telephone, and many of us are adapting and developing other things like the video consultations as an aid, not for every patient, but for some it can help.
All right, Ilona Duffy, Monaghan based GP, Medical Director of North East Dock On Call. Ilona, as always, thanks a million for speaking to us.